Blessed be your name. Like never before, you will open our understanding this morning. You will give us revelation in your word. Everyone here, we have testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I want to welcome every one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the month of July will be a month of testimony for us in Jesus' name. This month we are going to be doing something very different and different from what we've been discussing before. And I really like you to follow this series. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I trust the Holy Spirit that in the course of this series, God will help us to make adjustments where necessary in the name of Jesus. And so, friends, I'd like you to, you know, let's be on the same page and trust God that our lives will be transformed in Jesus' name. I'm going to be teaching on what I title Kingdom Concept of Money. Say after me, Kingdom Concept of Money. Under it, we are going to be looking at the bread and seed concept of money. But I title it Kingdom Concept. I have taught on this before, but I just decide to revisit it again and go more or in advance than what we have done. What is money? Economically, we all know, you know, what money is. Money is an exchange for value. Money is a means of exchange. Money has so many futures. Money is movable. Money is transferable. Money is exchangeable. Praise God. Money is a legal tender. Money is something that is constitutionally agreed that we will use to exchange values. If today the naira we have, the constitution of Nigeria says naira does not have value again or is not money again, then naira become useless. Why it is called money is because we put value on it. We define it. We called it money. God didn't create money. In creation, God did not create money. Money was not part of God's plan. If you look at Genesis, there was nowhere you will see and God said, let there be money. Praise God. You know, today all kind of things we see, people call miracle money, and you be in church, they'll say, lift up your phone. It was not like that from the beginning. Tell your neighbor like that. Say, it was not like that from the beginning. Yeah, be careful of magic. Money is good. Money creates good experience. Yeah, money is good. Money is not evil. It is the love of money that is evil. Money itself is good. And let me tell you this. When we are talking about dominion as Christians, I'd like you to follow me. When we are talking about dominion, dominion means our reign, our influence as Christians, the things we are able to do for God here on earth. Brethren, money is needed. How many of you agree with me? To fulfill our assignment on earth as believers, we need money. Yeah. Though God didn't create money, but as because of the way the system of the world runs, the system of the world runs with money. Like I used to say hilariously that the Lord gave me a vision of being on television, and I used to say it, we will not go to either NTA, AIT or BCOS and go to the manager and say, you see manager, I am a prophet, bring your hand, and begin to prophesy to him or begin to speak in tongues to him. He will still ask for his money. Praise God. Even if he won't ask for money, you can give you money from his own pocket because you have prophesied to him. But somehow, some way, money is needed. But because of this need for money, people have become desperate. I have once said it, there is what we call the survival mentality of money. I must just make it. I make it mentality. And so, they don't bother about how the money is being made. Just the money. The money should just be made. And I've seen people who, even in church today, look at the craze for money. because it's important. You need money every day. It's something we relate with every day. Every day we relate with money. It's either you are spending it, or you are giving it, or you are investing it, or you are receiving it. So one way or the other, money goes through your hand. Praise the Lord. And so because of this need and the way the system of the world runs, money has become what everybody wants to get. But I want to pray for you. Money will flow in your direction. Do you know one thing I have found out? People who run after money, money run from them. Who are crazy about money? Have you seen people, one person doing three jobs, yet he's not rich? Money, the Bible says, Jesus speaking in the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 24. He said, you cannot serve God and money. The word mammon is the Greek word for money. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. Now, I began to inquire, you know, I was asking myself, why would Jesus use the alternative to God as money? That if a man is not serving God, he is serving money. You know, in a place like Lagos, people 3:30 they are on the road. Monday through the week, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they will hit the road 3:30, 10:30 there. What is making people leave their home that early? Prayer. Or they just like waking up early. Money. So there's a survival mentality. People want to survive at all costs. That's why you see the rate of rituals, especially in a society where leadership is not managing the money of the people well. People will go out of their way to make a case like Nigeria. Nigeria is extremely rich. But I mean, we are richer than one of the finest nations in the world, Dubai. If you don't know that, I'd like you to know that today. Nigeria is richer than Dubai. How many of you have been to Dubai before? I've not been there before. Maybe we'll go and celebrate my birthday there. I'll take you along. Praise God. One of the finest nations in the world, Dubai. Nigeria is more than times 10 richer than Dubai. If you don't know what, go and check it. We are rich. We are richer than some European countries. In fact, the Prime Minister of UK once said, he said the amount of money that was looted from Nigeria, if it was looted, if such amount of money was withdrawn from the treasury of United Kingdom, he said there will not be United Kingdom again. And he's absolutely right. Since the creation of this country, men have looted money till now. Money is still being looted, but we are still surviving by the grace of God. Do you know why Nigerians adapt? Somehow we adapt. We just adapt. People keep, but there are people who don't adapt. They just want to survive. Yeah, there are people who don't want to adapt. They just want to survive. And that's why you see the rate of kidnapping going on, you know, ritual. Look at when this trend, Yahoo, this thing called Yahoo started, I think, in the early millennium year, 2000. I began to hear Yahoo in, you know, when I was in secondary school, there wasn't anything like Yahoo. And so people started graduating into becoming fraudsters. So families began. What we used to know used to be 419. People that manipulate people's mind and collect. But their children have gone the advanced way. Yeah. Praise God. Now, the thing is increasing because people have survival mentality about money. Now, God is concerned about the process. Say after me, God is concerned about your process of money making. Now, God is not interested in the fact that you made money. The much more concern of God is, how did you make money? And that's why the Bible says, contentment and godliness has a great gain. How do you make your money? Today, when somebody brings money and says, yeah, I have made it. How did you? Most of us don't ask. Pastors don't ask. Churches don't ask. Even family don't ask, how did you make money?
people don't ask. He has made it. The person may come to church, give church 10 million. By the grace of God, God should help every one of us in this church. We all live in abundance. You will not lack money. Money will not control you. You will control money. But let me tell you something. If I know what you are doing, your job, and you bring a kind of offering to church that cannot be measured with what you are doing, either business, I will call you privately and say, bro, what miracle happened? Because I know your worth. If somebody just come, by the grace of God, I know to an extent, I know the worth of many of us here. If you just come one day, I just throw 50 million. Before I start rejoicing, I will call you, because I won't want EFCC to arrest me. Before we start, before I even announce it to the church, I will call you privately. How did God, this is the way I will ask this, how did God do this miracle? So you will have to explain to me how overnight you became a millionaire and your tithe worth 50 million naira. And so we must understand that God is not against us becoming rich. God is concerned now about how we become, and that's why God has principles of how a man should be rich. You can't be rich anyhow. There are many ways to be rich. Hallelujah. There are so many ways to be rich. You can't be rich anyhow. And so I'm going to be teaching on kingdom concept of money. But under the kingdom concept of money, like I said, we will be looking at a few things on the bread and the seed concept of money. So what is concept? Concept is an understanding retained in the mind, which constitute the way you see things. I'm going to say it again. Concept is an understanding retained in the mind, which constitute the way you see things, or the perspective or your perception about life entirely. That is concept. How do you see things? We see things differently. We see things. Our approach to money differs. There are people that anything that has to do with money, they can kill or they can die. Yeah. It is their perception. It is the way they think. It is their perspective about money, that it is something that you should kill for or you can die for. So we must have a kingdom perception. What I mean kingdom perception is Christ's perception towards money. Jesus talked about money. Yeah. In most of his parables, go and check. He uses money. When he was talking about 5 talent, 2 talent, he was talking about money. They used to call money then talent. Are you with me now? They used to call it talent. So when he was using all those parables, he was using money because he knew people are more familiar with money. So he used what they were familiar with to explain the kingdom unto them. So there's a perception everybody has about money. Every one of you here have different perception. There are some of us here, our perception is as soon as money comes, the next thing is enter ShopRite, enter supermarket. That's some people's perception. There are people's perception, as soon as money comes, their perception is save this money. Even themselves, they won't use the money on themselves. There are people like that. They have a saving perception, saving concept. Any kobo that comes into your, you see such people used to have small vault at home. No matter how rich the person is, he will have small vaults. There was somebody I saw on the internet lately that saved for, I think, 5 years or so, saved up to 700,000. You know, you come back from work, the little change you have with you, drop the money. She was dropping it like that. Now, this has to do with how we are trained at times. Now, there are people who have what I call consumer mentality about money. Any money that comes, chop. Say chop. That's the right word to use. Just chop it. Their mentality is another one will come tomorrow. Another one will. Such people hardly become rich. Yeah. They hardly become rich because they eat the seed that should be planted. Now, this is why I said this. We are going to be talking about kingdom. We are going to be talking about bread and seed concept. When God gives you money, the first question you ask yourself, is this a seed or a bread? Because if you eat your seed, sir, you won't have bread and you will not have harvest. Let's open our Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Please, I'd like you to follow me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and from verse 6. I'm going to take the reading from here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, let him give. Say, let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having sufficiency in all things. Say, sufficiency in all things. Now, this is the mind of God. Tell your neighbor, say, this is the mind of God. He wants you to live in abundance. In how many things? Including money. Including what? Yeah, God wants you. Some of us used to think poverty is predestinated. You know, there's no poverty in Christ. Praise God. Some people believe that they are destined to be poor. You are not destined to be poor. Poverty, you can't reign. You can't reign in poverty. You can't, you are limited when you are poor. Say, I hate poverty. Don't just say it, hate it. It's not good. Poverty is not good. Poverty is the reason people compromise. Do you know you have more tendency to steal when you don't have than when you have? Yeah. The reason people steal most often is when they lack, when they don't have. I've heard of a case of someone who was stealing from church offering. As soon as they pass church offering, as soon as they enter vestry, the man will take his own and put in his pocket. Lack. You will not lack. God wants you to live in sufficiency. Now, Apostle Paul here is not talking about spiritual things. He's talking about including material things. That was why he said, in all things. Are you getting me now? And you will live in abundance. He said, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Say, every good work. Yeah, good things, at times you need money to make good things happen. Yeah, you need money. You need money to buy good clothes. You need money to take care of your family. You need money to send your children to school. You need money for a lot of things. Now look at it. Verse 9. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad. He had given to the poor. His righteousness remained forever. He has given to the poor. He has given to the poor. He has given to the poor. Verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now the Bible says God gives to the poor. The question is this. When the poor receive from God, with what perception did he receive? Many of us have been given opportunity. God has opened doors for us. I'm going to give you some of the opportunity I misuse as an example. God has seen that you need him, and he gives you opportunity to become rich materially. But when he gave you seed, you ate it. You didn't invest it. Seed is to be planted. You don't eat seed. You don't see a farmer eating seed. A farmer plants seed. Many of you have once been in money, even in small capacity, some of you when you were in school. The kind of money you were exposed to when you were in school, you don't have it again. Some of you didn't invest. You have so many opportunities. Money came into your hand. There's season of harvest and there's season of seed. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22. As far as the earth remaineth, there will be seed time and harvest. May you recognize your seed time. And if you miss seed time, automatically you miss harvest. Because it is seed that produces harvest. How much? You know, it bothers me today when I see young people. The Yoruba people say, I'm going to say it in English. The first money that comes into the hand of a child, he uses it to eat akara. The Yoruba, they say, Wani owo tomode ba kokori, akara lo finje. That makes a lot of sense. He does not invest, that's the meaning. Because he's still a child. He does not invest. He consumes everything. And now, listen to me. Many of you, as you are hearing this thing now, it will help you. Because some of our fathers, our mothers can, if they have the opportunity to review their life and rewind their life, the mistake they make, they won't make it again. I'm telling you the truth. If our parents have the opportunity, some of them used to say, if I had known. One man was telling me, he came from Abeokuta in the early 90s to Kano. He said he came to Kano with about 20 million in the early 90s. And he squandered the money like the man in Luke chapter 4. He said, as at that time, there was a story building close. He was living in a rented apartment. He would go to club. He would take women. He bought a car. And he squandered the money. He said, as at that time, they were begging him to buy the house for maybe a million or two. About three-story building. He said he doesn't need it. Because he didn't know that what was in his hand was his seed. He ate everything. He ate both the seed and the bread. Few years later, the man who bought that house from him and who bought that house from the seller wanted to sell it about 100 and something million. And he now called me, he said, do you know one time I had the money to buy this house? In fact, they told me to buy it and I said no. Mentality. God did not create any one of us poor. Neither did he create any one of us rich. He created us and gave us choices and gave us opportunity. We make decisions with the opportunity and the choices God has given to us. God, many of us used to think, why will God make me poor? No, he gave us equal opportunity. When the rain falls on the roof of everyone. When the sun shines, it shines on everyone. God has given us equal opportunity to become men of substance in life. It is what you do with your own. Don't blame God. And that's why when there are prayers that are not answered, especially this prayer of, I must make it. Miracle money. God has given you opportunity. It's a principle. It does not apply in heaven. It only applies on earth. And as far as you are on earth, you must obey that principle. If you don't obey the principle, you are not going nowhere. If I see the kind of life my own parents live, I didn't want to live that life. I didn't want my children to go through what I've gone through. I told my wife when we were cutting, I said, never, never, not under my watch will I allow my children to go through what I've gone through. And decision starts from as soon as we got married. Even before, I started planning. Before we got married. The decision is not when you have the children. Decision is not when they're about to go to university. Decision starts from your day-to-day activity. How you relate with money will determine the kind of children. Do you know what the Bible says in Proverbs? He said the righteous leave his inheritance for his children. How comes that there was a prophet in the Bible, and I'm sure the prophet must be righteous because he was close to Elijah, that he died in debt, a prophet. So this has nothing to do with anointing. It's a principle. The man died in penury. Two of his sons that should have been enjoying their father's inheritance took their father's debt. Some of you inherited debt. Might not be literally debt, but you started carrying the load you should not carry early in your life because your parents did not play the role they should play. There are things you should not be doing. You started doing them at early stage of your life. Do you want your children to go through this same circle? Let's assume our parents did not know as much as we know. Yeah, let's assume. Because I believe if my parents knew, now, somebody was giving an analysis. Lord, help me to stay on this. Jim Ovia, the CEO, used to be the CEO, is the chairman of Zenith Bank. Started Zenith Bank with 20 million naira. The same year, Jim Ovia started Zenith Bank was the same year Shino Peters, you know, the popular juju musician, built a house worth 20 million and furnished with all kind of cars. So, the person was trying to teach about mentality, our perception to life. And they said, then, Shino Peter was advised to invest his money. He said, no, that he will enjoy his life. Now, that house is outdated now. Those cars are not, they are not in use again. If he rides that car on the road, nobody will see him. But one man invested the same amount, another man squandered it. Now, some of you will say, is building squandered? Now, let me tell you something about building. If you build a house and you are living in it, it's not yet an asset. Because it's here a liability, you are maintaining the house. Because someone wants, let me just build a house. No, listen. It becomes an asset when you sell it. And if you want to sell, you have to move out of the house. It is an asset when you build it and you give it out for rent. It is paying your rent and you are still having money. I wish I'll be able to share some personal things with you. So, if you don't have the right perspective, it's not a matter of tongues. If it is tongues that bring money, there should be richer people on the hilltop and in church. Because when we come Latin, Sunday, Kapratazi, Kete, listen, if you don't practice certain, listen, there are keys. Keys are called principles. There are keys that answers to certain things. There are keys that don't answer to some things. It's not every key that opens every door. There are things that answer to prayer. There are some. So if you like, pray to from now till the end of the year, you can be spiritually wretched materially. Spiritually rich, wretched materially. Praise God. May we not miss it in Jesus' name. Say, I will not miss it. And now let me tell you something. The time is just counting. The time is just there. And some of you are just thinking you are too young. You are not young. I want to challenge you this morning. Start thinking of what to do. I told you. I say money is an exchange for value. Now, it's very simple. How do I get money? Create value. Simple. Money is an exchange. Anything that has value, people will put their money on it. The question you will ask yourself, what value am I creating? The value you are creating is a measure of your wealth, is a measure of how wealthy you're going to be. Seed and harvest time. What's your perception? The same God that gives us seed, He gives bread. Now, when He gives you bread, you should know when something is to be saved. Now, I'm going to, because of time, there are things I will skip. And maybe next week we'll look at it. Very, very important. This is, I'm telling you, very, very important. But some of us, we like learning by bad experience. Have you seen people who have been rich before? When they regret, they'll be telling you, if I had known, when they were selling land, when they were selling land that time, I have money to buy 10 plots. It's Ashoebi he bought. And some of you who like show, you want to buy clothes to impress people. So those same people will still insult you later. You want to buy that, you want to buy this. Invest in your future. Now, four things you should do with money. Tell your neighbor, four things you should do with money. Now, some of you will be like, when money comes. No, it's now. Because some of you, as I'm talking now, you are looking at, one day maybe I'm walking on the road, I will just see money on the floor. Stop all of that.
So when we're in primary school, we used to get, as I'm walking, let me just see money. If you see money, take it to the police station. Some of you say, it's wrong. It could be somebody's money. Yeah, because there are believers who see somebody's money on the floor, or on the road, or in the vehicle, and they will take it and start spending. They say, God, and you even come to church and give testimony. As soon as money enter into your hands, four things. Prioritize these four things. Even if it is 100 naira, in form of gift, in form of salary, in anyhow that money comes, let these four things run through your mind first. Before you do anything, because some of us, it is already at a default setting in our mind. When money comes, see somebody who has good plan before the money comes. When this money comes, I will put 5,000 in my account. I will give my offering, and I will send money to my mother. As soon as the money comes, you just see plans start changing. You just say, okay, I think I have a better plan now. When the money comes, there wasn't plan. There wasn't a better plan. So as soon as money comes into your hand, do these four things quickly. Number one, invest. Say invest. Okay, say investment. Now, investment has to do with divine leading. God has to lead you. Don't just invest anywhere. Some of you invested in MMM. I don't want to laugh. So that I will not be queried later. I don't want to laugh too much. Don't just invest your money anyhow. There's one investment they were doing in Kaduna. These people came to Kaduna market, collected money from people, and they disappeared overnight. Even if it is 100 naira that entered your hand, what do I do with this money? First, ask yourself. When you ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me? There are times God give you money, not for you, it's for somebody. Yeah. What do I do? I was listening to testimony of Bishop Oyedepo. He went to the US and he was given honorarium. When he was given honorarium in dollars, it was the largest he has ever gotten. When the money came into his hands, he said he got to Nigeria and he said, God, what do I do with this money? He has material need, but he asks, what do I do? You see, when you see people talk about men like that, that he's riding jet, there are things they have done in the secrets that men did not see in the open. It's including practicing certain principles. And over the years, they have done it. It has materialized into, are there not preachers who are not rich? Are they not called of God? Are they not anointed? They are anointed. But like I said, God has given us equal opportunity. We decide where we belong. God creates both the poor. Proverbs chapter 22. He said, the poor and the rich, God created them. But one have eyes, one did not. One sees opportunity, the other one does not. If you come to make the mistake your parents make, we should not blame your parents, we should blame you. At least, if you did not learn from the society, you should learn from your own parents. What became of them? Some of you are opportune. You have parents who are doing well. No, but one thing, it doesn't matter the amount. Even if it is 500, what do I do? Think investment. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. No, sorry. I want to show you something quickly. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12. If you find it, are you there? I'm going to read. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now, another version says, wisdom is a shelter. Money is a shelter. The same way as wisdom is a shelter. He said, money is a protection. Now, I read one version. I don't know if it's NIV. And my understanding, the understanding that I deduced from that version is that
Money is a defense, a shelter, a protection, the way wisdom is. But it's not money itself that gives good life. It is how you use the money that gives good life. I'm going to say that again. Money is a protection. Money creates good experience. Money is a shelter. Money is a defense. What creates good life is not money itself. What creates good life is how you use money. And which is wisdom. And that's why Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 say, wisdom is the principal thing. In all that getting, get money. Get understanding. And you know, some of you, God is just still keeping you. He wants you to know a lot. Do you know it doesn't take God anything before in the next 4 hours to make you rich in millions? Does it take God anything? But it is equally a waste when God puts it in your hand and you don't know what to do with it. Give a man, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 32, he said, the prosperity of the fool destroys the fool. Put money in the hand of somebody who is not wise. Give him towards, let the money come into his hand towards December. But I want to assure you, by the month of March, I have seen people who tell me, you know, tell me 1-2 million came into my hand last week. A few months later, they'll start begging you. You start asking yourself, what happened to the 2 million? When I was working in the bank, I had some of my bosses who were earning close to 500,000 naira. Our own salary was not up to 100. And by the end of the month, you see your boss asking you, please, can I have? You'll be asking yourself, what did he do with his money? So, money is good. But what creates good life is not money. Because you see a lot of money, people who have had money before, and they don't have good life. What makes it good in your hand is how you handle it. How you handle the money. And that's why I am teaching you that when money comes into your hand, the amount irrespective, number one thing that should run through your mind is, where do I invest this money? And you will ask. Now, investment doesn't mean business. You can invest it in Christ. Yeah. Because there is a spiritual perception to investment. There is natural perception to investment or perspective. You can invest it in business. You have natural. Like an unbeliever, we have profit when he invests. You will have. It's a principle. It works for anybody. If you invest, but you have an upper hand because you are a believer. You have an understanding of how to invest in spiritual substance. So when you think investment is not just only on material things or on business. There's a man, I've forgotten his name, who runs a restaurant in America. He is the only one who does not work on Sunday. Because statistics has it that restaurants make more money weekends. He decided that no, he's going to invest that day in God. He's the richest person running a restaurant business in America. Statistics has it that you have more money in restaurant business weekends. But this man said, I'm going to invest my Sunday, my Sabbath in the Lord. And he's rich. So there is physical or natural perspective to investment, there is spiritual. But some of us, we have abused the spiritual. Somebody give testimony. Last week, the Lord told me that as I came to church, there was 10,000 in my pocket, and the Lord said I should drop 5,000. And I obeyed the voice. And as I was going home, glory to God, my brother from the UK called me and sent me $500. Somebody heard that and said, oh, good business. Following Sunday, he too will deliver. Now he will come with 10,000. God didn't ask him. God saw his heart. He didn't ask him for his money. God saw his heart that he was a business-minded man. Because what God sees is not the money, it's the heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And so, God didn't speak to him. He spoke to himself. It's okay, like that brother last week. He too grudgingly gave 5,000. So as he's walking on the road, anybody who is coming, he's suspecting that money will come, he will start calling all the people he know within the abroad. Maybe. Now listen to me. That's a wrong abuse. This is what is happening in church today. They call people for sow, God sow seed, you will have this, you will have that. That's why the Bible says it is not of necessity. We don't force people. I don't know, maybe because of my attitude. I don't like begging. I don't like borrowing. And I can't come to church and start manipulating you. It is not so. It's not something God said, if you don't give me, I am enough. You are giving me for you, not for me. The giving is for you, it's not for me. He said, because God loves a cheerful giver. He said, let the giving not be of grudge. So even in spiritual investment, you must check very well. I want to go and sow seed in that church. What is your motive? Keep your seed until your motive is right. Tell your neighbor, keep your seed until your motive is right. Yeah. That's why many people say, all this seed thing is not even working. It's because of your, listen to me, it won't work because it has a principle. See, it's not all these pastors are deceiving you people. Why? Businessmen enter the church and they want to transact spiritual things with their mind. You don't do that. That's spiritual things. You don't use your head market knowledge to come to church and say, I will give 1 million. Your motive. So, there is spiritual investment, there is physical investment. So money is good, but it is not good enough if it is not managed with wisdom. And that's why we are teaching you. And there are some of you here who already have money. I know, you say, I am blessed. Come on, say loud, say, I am blessed. Why is this my responsibility as a pastor to teach you? So that I will be at rest. So that you will maintain what God has given to you. You will not mess it up. That's why what I'm teaching you now is wisdom. Because it is not the money that really makes you rich. It is the wisdom by which you manage the money that makes you wealthy. The wisdom. Go and check anybody who is crying today and say, I don't have money. I am poor. Ask him very well. He has lost an opportunity before. God is a faithful God. We don't need to pray to him to do that. One thing we should know, you don't need to pray to God before he supplies seed into your hands. No. It is his responsibility. But listen to me, beloved in the Lord. Listen to me. What you do with it will determine where you will go with it. And many of us, we are dragged into this life of competition. My friend that does this, I will do it. My friend did this, I will do it. My friend did that, I will do it. Your seed time might be different from, it might be in his own harvest time. I'm going to say that again. I hope you hear it. He might be in his own harvest time. You are in your own seed time. Don't consume seed like a man who is consuming his harvest. He might be in his own harvest time. Now you are in your seed time. When you start comparing yourself with him, you will eat your seed, thinking you are in harvest like him. May you not go begging. I say it again, may you not go begging. I don't want that. I've learned to do all my life is, I have tried as I could, as the Lord helped me, not to compare myself with people. I have tried. Where the temptation comes to spend anyhow, let me tell you this, especially for women, we have this tendency. Say, what is she impressing me with? And I'll come next Sunday with the latest one. That is it. She's in trouble. Any money that just comes the next day. And that's why some of us are safe in a church where we all wear white garments. Nobody wants to know the quality. In a church where people wear different kind. There are people who can't go to church. They are oppressed. They are threatened. And so, they drive for no. I must buy it. There was one time when I first got married. One lady saw me. She was looking at me. She used to be my friend. She said, I like this, your ring. Is it gold? I said, it is not. It does, because me, I don't even recognize gold. So it doesn't mean anything to me. If I see good now, I can't differentiate between good. I say it is not good. He said, why now? I said, that is what I am capable of. You want to prepare for wedding, you have put headache, it must be gold, 40,000. It must be my wedding gown, 35,000. You and your husband to be should sit down and invest that money. Some of you ate the future of your children at your wedding. Yeah, you consume, you know, you are after you now have children, you now start begging people to give you money. They saw how you lavish money in your wedding. They won't give you. They saw how you lavish money. Praise God. Up to now, me and my wife, we have not bought good. Up to now. It's not that we don't have money to buy good. We decide that it is not the important thing now. Our marriage will be 6 years. This year. Good. This is something, you know, God is an investment. Let it fall in your toilet. And when you invest it in the soccer way, you will know. Praise God. Are you learning something this morning? So number one, investment. These are four things that should run through your mind. Number two, write it down. Savings. Savings. How many of you have savings accounts? Or you have an account? Lift your hand. Lift your hand, let me see you. If you don't, you can put down your hands. Okay, let me now start making some private interviews. Now listen to me. Proverbs 21:20. Let me find it. Proverbs 21:20. Proverbs 20:21. I would like, if I can have like few people to help me read it in like two different versions. If you have any version you have, just read. I'm going to read the King James, but if you have any other version, help me with it. Very, very important. Proverbs 21:20. I'm going to read from here. King James. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spent it up. If you have any other version, can you help me read, please? Wise people are rich. There is good food in their house. But when silly people get money, they waste it immediately. Baggy, shop right, bread, immediately. They will just find somewhere. The money must go. There's the money must go spirit in some people's some people's body. This money must go. This money must. As soon as the money enter their hands, they waste it on the spot. I think it's a bad thing, no matter the kind of need you have. My wife is the one that used to push me to buy something. I can't remember the last time I went to the market. Lately she was telling me that I should please buy 2 jeans. I said I will buy. I would think, what do I do? Not that I don't have needs. That's me. Even some people think I'm stingy. You know, when you are, there's a level of principle you operate. People will say, this man, aka, leave them. Let them keep saying it. Let them keep saying it. It's a matter of time. Who we know who is aka? Read that version again. Like, what version is that? Read it again. Wise people are rich. There is good food in their house. When silly people get money, they waste it immediately. It's not all ashwebi you should buy. Lately, one of my friends wants to get married. He came here last 2 weeks and he said, I'll be getting married. And I said, what color? Because I know I should have the color of the clothes at home. What color of clothes? He said, because now I know you will call 15,000 for me. He said, no, that it is Agbada and it's 15,000 and I must buy it because I am the preacher. Can you imagine? How does preaching has to do it? You know, and I was telling my wife, I said, look at this thing now. How will I say no? Some of you, they have used you to do their wedding. You didn't know. Ah, konida, konida, oremi, konida, timbashe. That is why you are where you are. That is why you are still where you are. And it's not every visitor you must give Martina. There's nothing wrong giving people water. I must buy Martina. Did no, this is the first time he's coming to my house. No, no. Don't put yourself in debt. Don't do more than your capacity. There is time for everything. Give somebody a cup of water. Just make sure that somebody comes to you and it didn't go empty. And water is even better than Martina. Praise God. Let's spend wisely. Save. Another version, please. Read your version. Hey, valuable are saved in a wise person's home. They put it all out. They squander it right there immediately. Another version, please. The wise man saves for the future. Ah, whatever comes, including seed. So you won't have harvest. And so when people give testimony in church, you'll be angry with the pastor of the church. You'll be angry with God. He's angry with everybody. See, this church, only some carcass are the ones that are rich. I can't go to this. When God, he gave us equal opportunity. When you see people complain too much about this person, he's showing himself in church. God has given you equal opportunity. What did you do with your own seed? Read that version again, please. The wise man says for the future. Now, can you now see that both of them got something? God is not a partial God. Both of them, both the wise and the foolish, got something. But what makes the difference is how they use what they got. What have you got in your hand? Actually, but what did you have in your hand? Say, spend it wisely. Invest it wisely. Don't impress. Don't try to impress anybody. We are not even looking at you. Don't impress us. Don't impress us. Let your success impress people. I read somewhere. It says, show off is the fool's way of glory. Show off is a foolish way of showing when people are doing show off. That's how is a fool idea of glory. Show off. You don't do more than your capacity. Praise the Lord. Number three, because of our time, I will quickly say these four things, then we'll continue next or in the second service. Number three, give. I say invest, save, give. Tap on it, say give. Say be a giver. Now, many of us, because of this teaching of save, invest, you have become another Christian entirely that we can't explain. This budget, a brother is suffering. You said, I have a budget. I'm sorry, my brother, I have a budget. You know, people go to the extreme on this principle. Some people have gone to the extreme on savings. Some have gone to the extreme on investment. But there must be a balance. Who say you should not give? What we are saying is that have a balance on your life. Have a balance on your life. Number one, when money comes to your hand, when it has to do with money that you can give out, think of the kingdom of God. Mission works. Many of us can be missionaries while seated in your house. It's called money for the mission. You can send money to missionaries. If every month, okay, my salary every month is 20,000. I want to be giving 2,000 to the missionaries in China. It means a lot. Some of them don't even work there. That is giving. Think of the kingdom of God. In giving, you think of people who are blessing you spiritually, your pastor. I'm not shy of teaching this because it is scriptural. It's a doing that minister unto you. is spiritual things. Minister back to them in material. I would rather teach you what is right than to manipulate you. He said, was he not? He was talking to Timothy in Timothy chapter 5. Let me show you. Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me show you. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and from verse 17. If you have any version, let me read it. 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5. The elders who do good work as leaders, be considered worthy of receiving double pay, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Verse 18, read verse 18. The scripture says, yes, the laborer is worthy of it. Let me read your version, baby. Let me read your version. Pastors who do their work well should be paid well, should be highly appreciated. Yes. Yes. Now, there is no doubt that there is an abuse in the church today. So many pastors have abused that scripture. They have manipulated people. But the truth is, never let what is happening in the world to deceive you. Because many people have shut their mouth. When it has to do with church, pastor, they don't give anything again. But that's the scripture. And listen to me, you are not giving to your pastor because he lacks. You are giving it because it is your responsibility. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number two, your parents. Give to your parents. Please, give to your parents. Some of you, it bothers me, especially Yoruba people. We like burial. Don't want to mention any part of Yoruba. Burial. A woman will suffer. Her children will not take care of her. As soon as she dies, they start contributing money. The money they didn't contribute when she was alive, they will say, okay, you open one account. Let's start putting, everybody start putting your money inside. They will start putting money. When she was alive, they didn't open an account for her. Take care of your parents. It doesn't matter how small. 1,000, airtime, 500, 200. Some of you say, well, when I grow up, when will you grow up? May you grow up. When I will take mommy, you know, I will take care of her now. They will not buy a shoebi. They will buy coffee worth 500,000. The money they did not spend on her alive, they will spend it while she's dead. I know some parents will be cursing their children while they are in grief. They use useless children. When they see the kind of cows they line up, they want to kill. And while they are eating, she's watching them and say, you didn't give me this while I was alive. I was listening to the testimony of one pastor who fly first class. A man took a ticket, two tickets first class, one for himself, one for a flower. The flower he wants to take to his mother's burial ground. He flew it from London. When his mother was alive, he wasn't going to greet her in Ghana. But he flew first class for flower. May you not get it wrong. Give to your parents, please. Do something today about it. Airtime, 500, 1,000 from your salary. As soon as money enter your hand, think about the person who took care of you. Some of you, your mothers, your fathers, they lose relationship to make sure you go to school. How it's in Nigeria, you see a woman will fry akara and send a child to secondary school, send him to university, fry, selling pure water. And you grow up and you said, you see, I have my family. What's your family? The Lord will help us. Number three, give to the needy. Give to the poor.
give to the needy, give to the poor. If you see, if you check Galatians 6, 9 to 10, James 2, 14 to 18, you will see because of time. And number 3, spend and spend wise. Spend and spend wise. Let me teach you how to spend wisely. When you as a man or a married man, number 1, married men especially, when you want to spend, the first person you think of, your children. Your children. Yeah, because there are fathers who don't. He will rather go to the party and be spraying the money. He has not paid school fees. He will spend money. And if you are a single here, listen to me. You are in a relationship with someone. You won't give her any gifts. You won't buy anything for her. You are the one we should call Aka. You don't spend for her, and you believe her to follow your vision. Not say, I have a great vision. The one you have now, share with her. I have a vision for you. So spend wisely. Spend on your wife, please. Your wife should be your priority. After your children, your wife, then think about yourself. Spend on yourself. And don't spend anyhow. Don't buy what you don't need. Right for your feet. Did you learn something today, Arthur? Don't buy what you don't need. There are a lot of things we are buying. Some of you go and be buying iPhone. It's iPhone I want. You don't need iPhone. Because all you want to do is iPhone is to stay on Instagram, stay on Facebook, that's what you want to do. And any common phone can do that. Some of you are not even supposed to buy phone more than 10,000 naira. If the phone is not being used for business, you have wasted your money. If it's just to call and go on Facebook, it's a waste of money to buy a phone. You buy it for 50,000. It's not, you are not doing business. Just picture Facebook, Instagram, a fizzy. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. Help us to follow these principles. Help us to fulfill destiny. In Jesus' name we pray.